Good morning, Monsignor, and what's on your heart today?
Today, Bruce, what's on my heart is the fact that, you know, I was thinking, and it's a new year coming, a brand new year. And all of us, I suppose, are looking back at all the things that have taken place in our lives, and we come up with what we think are New Year's resolutions. But as I look back, one of the things I especially was aware of was my dealing with families. And we're talking about, yesterday we were talking about the Holy Family, we're talking about families, and I had talked about the families that are listening to what we have to say. And especially that, you know, when I first went into work with poor families, ghetto families, I worked in the areas of Scranton, which were very high in the population of black people, and high in Hispanics, and third and fourth generation welfare types. And the children were so poor, and it was just such a I really felt this was a place for me to be. And the children there were so in need of some kind of father image. Anyway, many of those families were single parent, and the boys and the girls and the young people that were there were so often would get drop out of school. It was high crime area. It was very, very much on the police range. And I would go there in the evening, and I would just gather with the young boys and girls, especially the young boys. We'd sit down, and we'd be talking. And one night, I was with them, and we were talking about, what scares you? What are you afraid of? And all the children, they were mostly little young boys, and they were talking about what scares them. And this one boy said, I'm scared of snakes. One said, I'm scared of the dark. And another young boy said, I'm afraid of waking up in a casket and I'd still be alive. Well, I didn't catch that. That was different. But I just didn't get it. It was just a kind of a new experience for me. And I wasn't able to pick up that was a different kind of fear. And the next day, he shot himself. He killed himself. I went around for the longest time just in feelings of guilt. What could I have said? What could I have done and followed up with that boy? He was only 13. And I found out that his dad lived in Texas. He lived with his mother in the ghetto. And he actually had found his way to Texas. He wanted to be with his dad. He wanted to see his dad. And when he got there, his dad turned him out. Put him out. And he found his way back. The loneliness in children and the brokenness sometimes. In these feelings of guilt, I went and I listened one time, soon after that, to this priest. He was a psychiatrist, Father Ford. And after he talked, I went to him and I told him this experience. And he said, you know, you can't be in that kind of work and not be more aware of what you have to do. You have to become more acquainted with children and that kind of setup and families. And so I took a course, and I graduated and had a course in counseling. I got my master's degree. And one of the things I learned in that was a theory on families that came to me this morning, that really so many, many people who come to me and have come to me really kind of fit this mold. They have of the family. It's like your family is a thermostat. There's a there's a way by which you get an even balance in the way people play off one another. And one member, in order for this to work, is a goody-goody. There's somebody that's always right in a family. This is a person who just, everybody goes, yeah, that's right. And so this John, or whoever it is always right. And then there's someone in the family who's always wrong. He's the scapegoat. He's the black sheep. And they're always, if there was trouble, something happened, and that's the person that did it. Yeah, this is the one. They're always wrong. And in order for it to work, there has to be a pet. There has to be someone who just nobody expects much of. And he's always just kind of, it's not has any responsibilities at all. Just is a pet. And why don't you just even try it to your family as you're listening? You know, and then there was another one who really fit more what I think is really what fits more the Christian family, and that is a theorist by the name of Ivan Nagy. And it was multi-partiality, that in some way everyone is right. Everyone is good. Everyone in the family. So that no matter, it looks like there's a conflict, but when you look into it from this perspective, you can kind of agree with this. If a husband and wife are having a conflict, you get to talk to husband, you listen, you're partial to that person. You get to talk to the wife, partial to that person. Talk to a child who has a problem with the parent, you're partial to that person. That really does fit more our theology. What is our theology? Today, in the Catholic Church, we have this feast of the motherhood of Mary. There is a family that is perfect. And if you are a Christian family, we have a perfect family. You know, there's no family that it should be isolated and say, they're in the ghetto. No, every family is corrupt and has been until 2017 years ago. Every single family, every single person had been lost. They had been under the power of sin and Satan and death. Every single human being, no matter who they were, there is no one who was a star. Darkness, total blackness. But 2017 years ago, God came and visited a woman. And this past year, we celebrated that event in March. It was on March the 25th when God came. God Himself, our Father, wanted to have a child to send into the world, which would be His Son. And He came to a perfect woman, someone who was sinless and immaculate from her conception. Even football players have adopted some of that, the immaculate or miraculous reception. The immaculate conception, Mary, who is perfect in every way. And they asked her, would you be the mother of my son through the angel? And Mary said yes. On that day, we celebrated the beginning of our salvation. Light came into the world through her. She conceived that day by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit and came into her womb. This year, on Christmas, 9 months later, we had the birth of Jesus. The church celebrated the Savior's birth. 2017 years ago, that occurred. Born of the Virgin Mary. And so, this year, this past year, as we look back on it, God came into the world through Mary. He died in the year 33. He suffered on the cross and took on the sins of all mankind. He rose from the dead because he was the Son of God. He conquered all sin. He conquered Satan. He conquered death. Jesus came into the world and conquered sin and Satan and death, the only light in the world. In the year 33, he went back to heaven. That same Holy Spirit came upon the church, upon the apostles. And they became one with him through the power of water and the Holy Spirit. They were one body, Jesus, in the world. They came through all the centuries, and here they are in each of our families, beloved Christians. And so we have a perfect Father, and we have a perfect Mother, and we have a perfect child. That's you. You are that person by your baptism, by your confirmation, by your ordination, by the Eucharist that explodes inside of you, for you who are Orthodox and for you who are Catholic. The Protestants are really one with us, one body. You're perfect, each one of us, in him and through him and with him. Because of him, all of us have received new life. You are one with Jesus. Listen to what in the Mass today, the motherhood of Jesus, is taken from the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, the fourth to the seven verses. Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time has come, God sent his Son into the world, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons, as proof that you are sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you are now no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And a son and a daughter, then also an heir through God. He became human. You are one with him. There is in every baptized Christian, and there is in every human being, the Holy Spirit, by the power that is in you of the Holy Spirit. If you are on this planet, the Savior has come into the world. We have to reflect that power and grace that is in each one of us. We are being called to be Christ himself in the world. Your calling, your vocation, is not to be a priest or a bishop. Your calling is not to be married. For instance, your husband-wife relationship, that doesn't give you any power. Your power comes from your being in Christ. It's Christ in you that gives you that power. Where do you get that power? When you make a New Year's resolution as a father and mother and a family, how often, I think, you look back on this past year, you have been drained and dried out by your children and their demands, and sometimes very excessive and very unthankful. Where are you going to receive your energy, your peace, your strength? From your Father. And as a wearied mother, as a wearied and broken and needy father, You have to go back to your source. What has been broken in our family is the relationship with our Abba, with our father. What has been broken in our relationship is with our mother. We need her tender love. We need to begin to communicate again with these powers and graces and sources. Without them, we, Christ, cannot be fed. Jesus said, "The Father, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. You are in me and I am in you." So often with the baptism that we have and the marriage that we go through and the ordination that we accept, we think of ourselves as being the source and the strength for family or for parish or for the world. You're not. Every one of us is like that little kid. Didn't have a father, didn't have a mother. Why live? You get drained. You get so weary. And so today, what is the resolution that we want to make? A reconnection, especially in prayer, with the source of our lives. All things have come from him. In the gospel today, we learn of Mary and how she reflected. Mary kept all these things, the Gospel of Luke says. Mary kept all these things in her heart, reflecting on them. Her immaculate heart, she, when these events of the birth of Jesus take place, Mary kept them in her heart. Our mother can teach us how to pray. She taught Jesus as he was growing up. This little baby learned from her and Joseph in Nazareth. They can teach us. This little family that we have as a family creche during these days of Christmas, we need our Heavenly Father to sustain us, to be with us, to hear our call in the night, the darkness and the weariness and the fears that can overtake us. How many of you dads are financially so bereft? So many, you have bills, and we have so many things that are on our minds with regard to our children's needs, with regard to our work, the many, many things that just pull us in one way or another. Where do I go? Who do I go to be fed, to give my heart to, and who has the power? Our Father is God. And the peace that will come when I spend my time with my Abba, this peace that will come when he hears and answers all of my prayers. A child who has discovered God is full of joy, full of peace, full of love, full of patience, full of gentleness, full of humility. A child that has discovered his mother is so aware of the power and the grace that comes with just prayer each and every day of our lives. Today is the feast of the motherhood of God. Mary is the mother of the church. She was the mother of Jesus, and you are her son. You are her daughter. You are her child. Today, at feast, she is the one through whom she gave the world, Jesus. He came into this world through her. And you, as the child of Mary, when, you know, when the need, as he had as a baby, as he nursed at her breast, as he heard her teach him his first prayers, as he grew up by her side, every child has a mother. There are so many. When I was listening to the Pope yesterday, and he says, I see the Bambino Jesus. I see the baby Jesus in the children of Syria. I see that are so wandering and lost in the middle of the war as refugees. I see the children of Iraq. I see the children of Africa, of Central Africa. I see the children of so many who are sold into slavery because of their poverty. This is the infant Jesus in the world today. It's you. It's us. We are the family of God. It's you, fathers and mothers. We are God's children. And God, who made the whole universe, loves us as he loves his only begotten Son. He has loved us, all of us, and those of us who are not Christian. He has sent into the world the Holy Spirit to hover over all mankind. The Holy Spirit, when he came over the earth at the beginning, there was such chaos. He brought cosmos. He brought peace and unity to the entire world. God loves us. God loves mankind. He loves us so much, he sent his only begotten Son. His Son so loves us, he died on the cross and rose from the dead. He so loves us, and especially we who are Christians, that he wants to be in us and with us and through us in the world today. You are he. You are Jesus. And you have a father, and you have a mother, and we have a wonderful family. We are God's children. And we are going to have a wonderful year. As the new year is opening up, deep, deep, dig deep into your own heart first. Take the time this New Year's Day to go into your own heart as Mary did. She went into her immaculate heart and pondered all these things. You don't have to worry of what you're going to say or what you're going to do, because he's there. He is inviting you. Take a half hour today. Take an hour. Take your scriptures. Take your Bible. Open up to this scripture that I just quoted to you from Galatians. What a beautiful text that is. And have him speak to you as he spoke to Paul. Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, ransom those under the law, that we may receive adoption as sons. As proof that you are sons and daughters of God, he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. He's there. If you go into your heart, he will teach you to cry to your father. He will teach you to cry to your mother. I hope you each have a wonderful new year. But what a powerful thing it would be if you would begin with an hour of prayer in your own heart, not with your husband, not with your children, you. go into your heart. Go into that cave of your heart and discover God. Francis did 800 years ago, and the whole world changed. If you do that, your family will change, and everyone will change around you, because he will live as he did in Paul. I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. A blessed and a holy new year. God bless.